Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen from My Broadband.
Hello, Jan Vermeulen. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
You also sound fantastic. You sound like you've been on holiday.
That's great news. That means my pretending is working.
All right, so Jan is the editor at large for My Broadband, and we talk about tech. Often we end up talking about other stuff. Jan, Elon Musk, some interesting stories around him and around Tesla this week on My Broadband.
So right.
What's he been doing since he was removed as CEO?
It looks like he's been quite busy at SpaceX. He's probably also gone back to Tesla to, I don't know, live in the factory there to try and get the Model 3 production up and make sure that the company survives. That's what he's been talking about on Twitter. But he's also been launching rockets at SpaceX. They've recently completed two launches back to back. The most recent one, the rocket didn't make it back to Earth, unfortunately, but it did manage to save itself from completely crashing, and they managed to recover it from the ocean. But for South Africans, what we've been hearing that's quite cool is that Elon Musk has told a fellow South African on Twitter that he expects to have a Tesla dealership open in South Africa by the end of next year. Now, yeah, that's pretty cool. I think for any motorhead, any person who's interested in cars and in technology, having Tesla come to South Africa like that is actually quite exciting.
I think so. And they had something, didn't they? They had a Powerwall.
Right. And also they do have a local office. And they are dealing with local distributors. But the Powerwall has been in South Africa since it launched, really. Distributors brought it in just a couple of months after it launched. But those same distributors are telling us now that they are completely out of stock. That finding power walls is difficult, that whatever power walls they can find anywhere in the world gets sold basically the minute they land in South Africa. They recently got 6 power walls in, but still the old unit, the old, you know, Powerwall 1, the Powerwall 2 has been out for a while now. And even the Powerwall 1s are flying off the shelves. So they say that we're probably only going to see Powerwall back in South Africa in any kind of, widespread availability by 2020. That's just how in demand the Powerwall is. And it's actually interesting to see what Tesla has done in this last year, obviously because of the demand. They've hiked the prices twice for the Powerwall 2. They've hiked it from $5,500 to $5,900, now to $6,700. And they've hiked the price of what they call additional hardware. It's called the Gateway. It used to be $700. That is now $1,100. That's obviously not necessarily cost-based pricing. That's purely demand-based. That's supply and demand. There's too little supply of these power walls, too much demand. They get to pretty much ask what they want.
Incredible.
It seems like it. But I mean, that said, the prices are not yet out of whack with the rest of the industry. I've seen some commentary suggesting that Tesla is getting there, dangerously close to not being the best value for money on the market anymore. But for now, it's still pretty good value.
Yeah, and for anyone who doesn't know what a power wall is, like myself, hashtag asking for a friend, what is a power wall?
Power wall, simply put, it's a battery bank and it's lithium cell based rather than lead acid based. And so basically what they're used for is as a battery backup in your home. That's what they were designed for. And also as a kind of buffer unit for solar power. So if you generate electricity using solar panels and stuff, you then are able to store whatever electricity you don't use during the day in batteries and then use that at night.
Do you think that they might have a deal going with Eskom?
If only. So, yeah, it's actually very interesting to see
the
kind of solutions that are coming out. And, well, it's actually there are actually plenty of South African companies producing their own lithium batteries and bringing in lead acid batteries, but the demand for these systems is just incredible in South Africa, where people are buying up whatever solar systems they can because of load shedding, and also seeing really, really interesting solutions coming to the fore with communities going, you know what, we've had enough of this, and basically building their own little mini power plants, solar power plants with batteries that then feed the whole community, and literally they use Eskom as a fallback.
Fascinating.
So that looks like the direction things are going to go.
Yeah. Well,
if the government can't turn this around.
Well, you heard it here first from Jan Vermeulen. Jan, load shedding. Apparently, that's doing a lot more than just taking down mobile networks and taking out people's computers and personal, you know, equipment, any electronics. I mean, do you know the cost of corruption to our country?
That's the point of this article. We've been hearing that the cost that mobile operators are facing due to load shedding, it's just an inordinate amount of money. We're talking like millions of rands a day. Depending on the number of sites that are offline, perhaps depending on how busy a particular site is, millions of rands for that site. Now, they obviously roll out battery backups to the majority of their network, or at least to the most critical portions of their network. But MTN explains that what's happening is that the load shedding is like happening for, you know, sometimes over 12 hours a day. And so the power gets tripped before the batteries are done recharging.
Yeah.
So the batteries last, you know, 10 to say 14 or 15 hours. They then require 10 to 18 hours to recharge. And so when you've got back-to-back load shedding, or you know, you've got a problem caused by load shedding, so the power stays off for say 2 days at a stretch, the battery backup goes down. And that site goes down, and nobody's going to be crying crocodile tears for our mobile operators losing money, but the real effect on the average consumer there is if their costs go up, that means prices can't come down, and if the costs go up significantly, then that means prices have to go up to compensate. So this does ultimately hit us in the pocket. Because the cheaper we can make it for these companies to do business, the cheaper the prices can be. I know people will be cynical about that, and that's why we do need strong regulation in South Africa to make sure that savings are passed on to consumers and not just banked by shareholders. But the fact remains that if load shedding drives up costs, we'll feel that in our pockets at the end of the day, in much the same way as we feel a petrol price increase in our pockets. And it doesn't help that these battery backups and solar systems that mobile networks use are incredibly attractive to vandals and thieves. And so they've had to deploy additional security to guard the backups. The costs just keep ramping up. And so, South Africa is finding itself in a very critical situation with Eskom. I mean, we know the story, but
so incredibly disheartening.
Right.
I think of myself as such a positive person, but it's just so disheartening when you look at the figures. And did you see that comparison?
Yes.
It was the 10-year, decade on decade.
Yes, we also did that story. Yeah. Where we compared 2008 to 20, just 2008. We only looked from the start of the Zuma presidency. We didn't even look further back to Mbeki and Mandela's presidencies. You know,
no, why? Because you generally didn't need to.
No, exactly. I mean, if we look that far back, I think we'd all just get incredibly depressed. Looking at And in fact, you know, you look through the presidencies from Mandela to Mbeki, and you go, oh, you know, things are looking up. Obviously, Mbeki made a bunch of mistakes with Eskom regarding building additional capacity, which caused the first bout of load shedding we experienced in 2007, 2008, I believe. But so he's not an angel by any stretch of the imagination. But then the plundering started. And you know, Eskom is just in an incredibly bad state at the moment, and on top of that, the staff complement has increased in the last 10 years, so the business's efficiency has just gone down tremendously. As you say, it's disheartening, especially
so disheartening.
You know, it's summertime and we're getting hit by load shedding. I think people are looking at this and going, oh, you know, this is, you know, just the worst possible news at the worst possible time.
Yeah, 100%. Jan Vermeulen, you're an absolute genius. I love talking to you. I can throw anything at you and you just, you know, you just take it in your stride. Clive's asking you, what yes. does the Powerwall cost?
Do you have any information? So right now it costs infinity because you just can't get them. But when they when they launched in South Africa, I think the cheapest, but and you can't just buy the Powerwall alone. You have to buy it with a kit. And so the Powerwall 2 comes in two different variants, one with an inverter and one without, and the price will vary depending on that if you can find one. But the original Powerwall when it launched in South Africa was around, and that's 2016 odd, if my memory serves me, was the very basic kit cost you like 116,000 rand. So I would expect, you know, in that around there, compensating for inflation and for the insane demand on the product, you know, you're going to be looking, you know, well over 120,000 rand. For the Powerwall, for a Powerwall starter kit at this stage. You can get much cheaper starter systems, if you look at lead acid battery based systems. You could actually also look at locally produced lithium batteries if you can find stock. The one factory in Cape Town that I know of, they are literally working until 11 at night every day while the demand is as high as it is, to try and make sure that they meet the extra demand caused by load shedding. But you can look at their products as well, and that might come out quite a bit cheaper. So don't just fixate on the Powerwall. Tesla, love them, good product, good brand. Elon Musk is our boykey. We love him. But you can get great deals if you look elsewhere. And now's a great time to hunt because you just can't get Powerwall.
Very interesting. So, you know what I was also thinking? I mean, speaking about Eskom, and I don't know whether it's a good exercise or a bad one, but for every liter that of fuel that we buy, of petrol, that we buy for our home generators, our business generators, there's a certain amount of tax that goes to the road accident fund.
Right.
If we're buying for our generators, is that money still going to the road accident fund?
Yes. So the fuel levy, and so this was part of the protests from the higher ups against using the fuel levy as a method to pay for the toll roads, right? The N1 upgrades, and not just the N1, but the N1, N3, R21 upgrades that e-tolls are supposed to pay for, and so the thing is that money. They complain goes straight into the fiscus. It doesn't go, you know, you can't ring fence it. And so it's just a straight tax, of which, you know, obviously that tax exists in much the same way as the government is looking at reducing the tax benefits for medical aids to pay for a national health scheme. So the fuel levy, part of the fuel levy, is used to pay for the road accident fund and other stuff. But it actually goes straight to Treasury, and Treasury gets to divvy it out. It's just the argument is that it's just another way to generate money for Treasury. But the principle is that it goes to the road accident fund.
The figures must be astronomical. Jan, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But Rachadi says, thanks, Rachadi. She says, interesting conversation about Eskom. Today, 5 years ago, with the world watching, someone in the ANC gave us Tamasankwa Yankee. Do you remember him? He was a sign language interpreter at Madiba's Memorial Service. Do you remember him?
Yeah, he became an international meme for all the wrong reasons.
That
was pretty funny.
And he was, when there was this interpretation, it was something about smoking horses. Do you remember?
I remember.
It was really funny watching an American sign language interpreter trying to translate what this person was signing. And at one stage, he's looking to camera and he goes, that's just nothing. That's what he's trying to say.
Oh, hilarious. Jan Vermeulen, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your knowledge, your expertise, and a little bit of yourself with us. We look forward to speaking to you next week. Are we going to speak next week?
I'm around. If you would have me, I will be on the air.
In a heartbeat. Thank you so much, Jan. God bless. Take care.
Keep all you too.
Bye-bye.